Welcome to episode 557 of Flyaway. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Anna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. Ever wondered what it would be like to stroll through a classic monster movie or race alongside Mario and friends? This week, we're unlocking the secrets of Epic Universe's Dark Universe and Super Nintendo World. We'll tell you what to expect, what not to miss, and how to make the most of your visit. It's me, Mario! Let's a go!
Good job. Yay. Good job, Anna.
Probably needed to be a little bit higher in tone, but that's okay.
It's a me, Mario! Let's go!
All right, I think we should do that again.
Yeah. That's it. No more.
Okay. Done. Done.
Okay.
Well, awesome. Okay. Cool. So we already did talk about Epic one time, but we wanted to kind of
Yeah, we did kind of a broad, just
drill down a little bit
of Epic. So now we're going to dive a little deeper into the different worlds. I'm excited about both of these because Mario was just nostalgic. My childhood, I spent countless hours playing Mario, and I'm just excited about all of it.
Well, we'll talk about that one last, then, so that you have to wait.
Oh, we're going to talk about Mario last.
Yes.
All right. We'll start with the Dark Universe. That sounds fun. Yes. So this is very eerie, gothic. Like,
Yes.
Is it scary? Like,
I think it depends on who you are. Okay. I mean, it's absolutely a classic movie monster kind of thing. I think little kids will find it scary.
Okay.
But for adults who have sort of come to terms with the classic monsters, it probably won't be as scary.
Okay.
I scare pretty easily, and there are, I feel, a couple of jump scares, especially in the Monsters Unchained ride. There was actually I was there with Brooke, and she actually squealed at one point.
Okay.
So, nice. So I think... Yeah, I think that you would, it depends on the kid, but there are definitely kids who would find it way too creepy to even go in.
Okay.
But the universe itself, it's, as long as you're there during the day, it's like a European village. It can be creepy, but it's not inherently creepy on its own. Would you agree with that, Sandy?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like walking through an older, like monster movie, but. But I don't know. To me, those weren't really scary. So,
right.
I guess if you're like a big chicken, maybe.
So when you say classic monsters, like what are the monsters there?
Frankenstein. Like Dracula.
Okay.
The Mummy.
Wolfman.
The Thing. The werewolf.
Werewolf.
Yeah.
Okay.
And from the like classic B movies. So we're not talking modern special effects, you know. I will say the special effects on the ride are very good, but they're still, dare I say, mechanical in the sense that they are audio animatronics. So as realistic as those things can be, they're still, you know, they didn't go with the 3D projections that they use in other rides, both in the regular parks and in Epic. They went with much more old school technology.
I kind of like that though. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. And there's two rides?
There's two rides. Yes. One is Frankenstein. It's the Monsters Unchained, the Frankenstein experiment. And the other one is Curse of the Werewolf. And Curse of the Werewolf, I think we can talk about super quick because it really is just, it's a roller coaster. It's a good roller coaster.
It's a good one. Yeah. It was very unique and different. And I really liked that ride.
Does it do loop-de-loops? Yeah.
No.
Oh, then I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that you're becoming, or, you know, whether or not you're becoming a werewolf is sort of the idea. Were you infected? And so you go on this ride, and throughout the ride, you find out whether or not you're a werewolf. And spoiler alert, everybody has the same ride. So in the end, everybody is a werewolf. But that is the idea of like that change that you're going through. So lots of dips, lots of turns and stuff, but nothing that like flips you upside down. And it's really cool because your guide is like this bohemian gypsy, you know, kind of character. Mm-hmm. So as you're walking through, it's like you're walking through a gypsy camp. Atmosphere on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Nice. It was cool.
Nice.
Elizabeth, you guys had express passes, right?
We did. Yeah.
I did not. So I was in the queue.
Well, and I can't tell you how long some of those queues were either. And I think it should be said that we both went on two separate occasions, you and me, but we went with preview tickets. So we had lower crowds than you might have. And some things weren't necessarily operating, but this land, I actually didn't have any problems experiencing everything on. And I have no idea how long that line would have been had we not been on a preview. So.
Right.
I feel like we waited, I want to say maybe 45 minutes for the Monsters Unchained and maybe less than an hour, I think, for the werewolf one.
That's not bad.
It wasn't bad. Yeah, but I felt like we were more in the sun for the roller coaster one.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because that one is outdoors. I think they had misters, but I don't know how often they used
that. Yeah, and they had like
the Frankenstein one.
No.
Or the werewolf. Yeah. Okay, that one's outside. Yeah.
Most of it, yeah. Okay. And there's like, it's like you're walking through kind of like a camp, you know, so there's like kind of like stuff draped above you to kind of give shade. But I do remember feeling like I was kind of out in the sun a good bit on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the other ride? What does that entail?
Do you want to talk about that one, Sandy?
Yeah, the Monsters Unchained. It is the same mechanism as Forbidden Journey, if you've been to Islands of Adventure and gone to the Hogwarts castle ride. It's cool. It's Frankenstein's daughter. Is that it?
Granddaughter.
Okay. And she's trying to do something with all the monsters, and then Dracula is chasing everybody. And there's a storyline to it. I don't want to ruin it, but it was good. It was cute. It was, I thought it was a pretty good ride. I always take Boning for stuff like that because I just remember so many people saying they got sick on Forbidden Journey. So I just pregame with Boning. Well, now.
Fun fact, it's always good to go to theme parks with theme park ride nerds. And Brooke is one of those. The mechanism is, it's the same type mechanism as Forbidden Journey, but a big difference is in Forbidden Journey, the arm attaches to the back of the carriage, and on this ride, it attaches to the bottom. So actually, it's a much smoother ride. Yeah. So you still go way back, you know, you lean every direction, but by moving that arm to the bottom of the ride, it gives it a lot more stability. I could not even begin to tell you about the physics of that, but it definitely was a much smoother ride, for sure.
That's interesting. Now, Elizabeth, did you go to the Burning Blade?
We did. We went during the day. Mm-hmm. It still catches on fire. So the Burning Blade is a tavern, and it is set in a windmill that, like, the pub itself is in a windmill, and every so often the blades of the windmill are on fire. Magically, for no apparent reason, they just get set on fire. It's super cool. It's a great effect. Obviously it doesn't burn up every time, so there's some movie magic going on there, but it's real flames. I mean, it's definitely on fire. And so that's super cool. And so during the day, obviously the effect isn't as great, but if you hear the bells ring, you need to head over there, because that's the sort of your warning that the tavern's going to go up in flames. We ate a couple of snacks there and had cocktails. Sandy, did you partake?
Yes. I don't think we had drinkies, but we had.
Are you okay?
I had the Black Bun burger that gave you a surprise later. Did you have that?
No.
What?
I talked about this on the last episode.
Yes.
Just to, you know, later on you were like, oh yeah, I ate that weird burger bun and look.
Oh, coloring surprise. Okay.
Yeah, it was like, oh wow, that's such a bright green color. Ah, Okay. I thought you, well, okay, yeah, I don't, we definitely didn't.
I must have blocked that out.
I don't think we ordered drinks. I can't remember. I don't think we did, because we went there actually like almost the first thing we did. Well, we rode that first ride, and then we went to the Burning Blade, and we had a little snack, and then.
So is that the standout dish?
Well, it's not like they don't have a lot of food there, and I wouldn't really like their other quick service places have a lot more space and tables and, you know, a lot more good places to sit down. And this one was not really set up for that, even though they had the food options. There was not a lot of tables. We ended up standing up and eating, and and you had to know to order it on, you know, like do the mobile app order and stuff.
So maybe better just go have a beverage, maybe.
Yeah, but even
you
then,
expect to stand. I mean, that's the
right. I was going to say maybe crowded. Have a beverage and that's cool. All right.
I feel like there's 10 tables in there, which just baffles me. It's like, why would you build a theme park bar with 10 tables?
It's like they don't want you to stay a long time. You know. Yeah. So.
And I do think it would be a hangout. Like I could see, especially because it's dark. So when it's really hot outside, I would definitely probably park myself there. So I had a beer and Brooke had the signature cocktail, which I don't remember what it's called. And I'm not going to look it up right now. But I would highly, the signature cocktail was expensive. I want to say it was like in the $16 range, but they kind of do a little show with it. Not like singing and dancing, but the bartender has like a whole spiel and it's a smoked cocktail. So they do this, the whole smoked thing. So if you're ever going to splurge on a cocktail inside the park, that might be the place to do it just for that experience. My beer was tasty. And then she had the pretzel, which is hilarious because she lives in Germany. I'm like, are you sure you want to get the pretzel? But it was quite good. It was a soft pretzel, big pretzel. And then I got the cheese bites, which actually look like little pieces of charcoal. They're black. And I was really kind of worried that, so maybe I got a surprise later and I just wasn't examining it, but they tasted just fine.
You would have known. It's hard to miss.
White tea. Nothing was glowing afterwards. Okay. So
is it the monocaine?
Maybe the cocktail you mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Whatever the most expensive cocktail is on the menu.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The cheese bites are good. I mean, they're cheese bites and they come with like a pretty spicy actually sauce to dip them in. So if you like spice, you might really like these because it's a pretty mild cheese. And then that the dark coating doesn't taste burned or anything. It looks burned. It was kind of hard to actually pop the first one in my mouth because I was like, what is this going to taste like? But it was fine. It tasted like fried cheese. So
I'm a fan of fried cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was not sad, but
huge fan of fried cheese.
We were definitely hungry. So the rides are enough of a draw. And then the Burning Blade is also a great draw. And I want to point out too, that the design of this park, if you go, pay such close attention to what you see and when you see it, because from outside of Dark Universe, you don't see any of it. Now, if you're up in the Helios Hotel and looking down at the park, you can see it, you're up. But from where you are coming into that portal, you don't see very much at all. And when you first walk into the portal, all you see are like a couple of buildings. You don't see the main rides. You don't even see the Darkmoor experience, which we can talk about in a second. And the Burning Blade is all the way at the back. So you don't see any, you don't even see the big windmill on fire when you walk in. Even if it's on fire when you walk in, you don't see it.
You might even miss it completely if you don't know to wander back over there.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, and when the bells ring, people will start, you know, sort of heading that way. So just follow the crowd if you don't know what you're doing. But I think that it's just magical how they're able to take that space and make it completely immersive where you can't see anything else from there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So what is this Darkmoor?
So think Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or Pirates League, but on steroids. They have makeup artists who actually work on Halloween Horror Nights to do these. They do full face makeup. So you can be the mummy, you can be Frankenstein. They've got all sorts of, and it's not only the stock characters, they've got all sorts of faces you can choose from. Mm-hmm. But an important thing to know is after you do this experience, you will not be permitted to order alcohol anywhere on property.
Why?
Because they cannot match your face to your ID.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
That is a very good thing to know.
Yeah. I was like, are you afraid people will cut up? So that also means that if you have an express pass, your face recognition probably won't work either, but you still could use your express pass because you can show that you have it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your face is so unrecognizable in the makeup that they will not let you drink. So you either need to be planning on not drinking that night or be done drinking because you won't be able to order anything after that.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Yeah.
And that's anywhere on property. It's not just, so if you go back to the hotel, sit at the bar, if you still have full makeup on, then
they're not going to serve you.
They're not going to serve you. Yep.
That is so interesting because I feel like there's other parts of me that show that I'm definitely over 21 years old. You know,
right? It's
like, yeah. I mean, you know, just like, I don't know, the sunspots, mm-hmm. the wrinkles, I just feel like
the gray hair.
Yeah, there's enough there to like,
yeah, I know.
You know,
slight limp in my walk. Yeah, I think though that the problem is if they did it for some people, where would they draw the line, right? So I think that's just easier.
And
for
I'm sure
them
that's a huge legality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So it's easier for them to just say, you know, no. You know, it's just part of the deal. But it is super cool. And I have no idea how easy it would be to go do that in the morning and then go over to Halloween Horror Nights that night. That, I mean, you got to pay for admission into Epic, but
that'd be really cool.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about that, but it's definitely, if you want like a true, you know, makeup experience, they can do like, they don't do prosthetics or anything, so they're not going to do like the really detailed scars or anything, but it's still really good. Like I saw one of the girls had the mummy effect on her arm, you know, and it's really well done. Oh, I mean, it's like face painting kind of on steroids. Yeah.
Like all 3D cool. and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So are there characters in there? Like you can do like meet and greet with characters. Like tell me about that. I love a good character meet and greet.
Yeah, so they do have some of the monsters, but the main character that you can meet is Igor, who also factors into the ride, and he's hilarious. He's sort of a comic character. Uh-huh. Yeah. He'll joke with you, and there was this really tall guy, and Igor was really short. I don't know if Igor's always really short, but he was really short that day, and this like guy who was probably 6'4", 6'5", was like, he came up to him for the meet and greet. He's like, are you Frankenstein in disguise? You know, he was really funny. I'm not funny. He's really funny. So I encourage you to interact with him if you get the chance, because he's a face character. He'll talk to you and everything.
So. My son is 6'4", so I think I'd like to see that interaction.
There you go. There you go. He says funny. The same joke.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Any other like cool things that we haven't mentioned about that park or that universe or whatever world. We're calling it world.
I talked about this the last time, but they had kind of like walking around actors, not just Igor, but there was like a guy who was like a bard and he was telling a story and he was playing a violin and stuff. So there's like a lot of cool streetmosphere type stuff if you really want to soak it in. It was.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that. That's really cool.
Yeah, but we didn't mention that the Frankenstein ride is indoors, so it is a dark ride, which means that even in the middle of the day, it was great to do. The werewolf ride, I think, isn't tied to day or night, although I suppose if there's a full moon out, it would be much more realistic. But we did both during the day, and they were both really fun.
Yeah. Yep. So do we want to switch to another world?
Switch? Did I hear you say switch?
I said switch. Because it's me, Mario.
I thought we agreed you weren't going to do that again.
I wasn't going to do it again, but I just got caught up in the moment because I'm, you know, I'm a Super Nintendo Mario geek.
I'm so glad you are going to chat about this because I know nothing about. It was so lost on me, and I was like, I know there's stuff I'm not talking about that I should be. So
I spent where so many times. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah, where were you that you didn't play Mario? How is that possible?
I get so stressed out on games like that. I can't stand it. I just don't. I'm a Sudeikis person, you know. Like,
I did so many power ups and saving Princess Peach, and oh my gosh, it was ridiculous.
Nope.
Yeah. See, I didn't.
We even found a gaming system as adults when our kids were younger that you could just plug into the TV, and it had like the old school, and it had the old school Mario. And my husband and I were on there just like battling it out, like about to kill each other. Like,
in my house, we weren't allowed to have video games, so. I didn't have an Atari or anything like that.
Well, it was after Atari.
Yes, it was after Atari, but...
I mean, it came out when I was in college, so in the 90s, early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I have to say that I mean, I'm not a video game addict by any stretch, but Mario, that the whole family of Mario games, Donkey Kong, all of that, it really, to me, it matched my skill level. Like, I really liked that it was all in a line and, you know, I could run along and jump and it's fairly straightforward. It wasn't a million different buttons for all the controls. Go ahead.
And this kind of combines the two, from my understanding, is Mario and Donkey Kong. There's kind of a combo of the two.
It does. Is that right? Yeah. And so that's actually that one of the reasons this was such a highly anticipated park, even though Super Mario World opened up in LA at the Universal Studios Hollywood before, is because this one also had Donkey Kong Country. And honestly, Donkey Kong Country, man, I loved that game. I so loved all the little characters. So, but I have to say, and I guess Sandy can't speak to this, so I'm just going to just take over the podcast at this point. I have to say that when you go through the portal to go to this world, again, you can't see any of it from the outside. You get a little bit of a hint about it, but not much. The portal is actually a pipe, like from the game. And you go up.
You warp.
Escalator. Yeah, it's the only one that has like an escalator going into it. And it has all the sound effects. So you really do feel like you're in the video game. And then it opens you up to the top of that world. It's a two-story world. It's magical. Like all the little Yoshis are going by and the flowers are chomping and the music is playing. It is completely immersive. It was very similar to the effect that I had when I walked into Diagon Alley for the first time, and you walk through and you see it, and it's just like walking into the books, you know. It was just like walking into the video game. It is
like walking into a video game with all the noise. It's like ding 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 ding. Oh my god. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm excited.
I can't hang out here very long.
I'm so sad I've not been there yet, but I'm gonna be going not too much longer.
You bought the watch, right, Elizabeth?
It's a power-up band. It's not a watch. Okay. It's a power-up band.
It is a power-up band, Sandy.
All it does is play the games and cost you a lot of money. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, so I will ask a question about that then. So since we're in that world, world now, those bands, are they necessary to have, or can you totally just enjoy that world without?
They're not necessary. You can still hit the power up blocks and do that and get points. And I think you can play all the games without them, but you won't get points.
Okay, so if you're a true Mario fan,
buy it.
Is it something you would recommend?
Buy it.
Then I'll buy it.
Can't you do something with it at home too? Like it works with a game or something? Fox was trying to get me to buy one so that I could give it to him. There's something it does. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't buy one.
So
find out and tell me what it does. Cause I think it's in a drawer right now. So,
so I guess that's my question though. If you buy one, let's say, you know, I'm planning to go to, Epic, a little bit later this year with my husband. And let's say we plan another trip next year, whatever. Are those reusable, kind of like with other parks where you can reuse a band?
Yes, and they work in Hollywood. And they work at Hollywood. They work
in Hollywood. They're universal.
Universals. They are not rechargeable though, so it's just like the old school Magic Bands where you know you could use them until the battery died, and then it's
okay.
But you do connect it to the app, and then it'll track your points. And there's lots of games you can play. And if you play get three of the keys, then you mm-hmm. get something else. We, because our time was limited, we had one day there to do all four portals. And that's a lot. We did two of the games. We definitely did one of them. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of fun, but you do sometimes have to wait in a line for them. And, but anyway, there's some, like, you can scan your band in Donkey Kong Country. You can scan mm-hmm. it at a K, an O, an N, a G, and then you've got Kong, and, you know, it's in your mm-hmm. game as Kong. Okay. There's some things that trigger noises, or, like, there's in Donkey Kong Country, there's one where you can trigger the rhinoceros to come out of the box. Mm-hmm. If you play the game, that makes some sense. The bands also, when you, like, you can hit the power-up blocks without a band, but mm-hmm. if you have the band, it actually counts your coins for you.
Oh, well, I need my coins counted.
Yeah.
I want credit for my coins.
Well, and then you and John each need to have a band because you have.
Oh, we will, because it's going to be a competition. Because once we step foot in there, I don't know you. You're nobody. This is a competition.
Yep. And then when you ride Mario Kart, which, by the way, is I was like, how are they going to do this Mario Kart thing? Like, am I going to flip upside down when I get hit by a green turtle shell? We could talk about that, but you can scan your band when you get into the car. And so then that credits your drive to that, to you. Yeah.
So. About how much are these bands?
That was my question too.
I can't remember. I want to say
like
that
they're like $50 or something.
I mean, can you put a price on something like this?
Yes.
I mean, really?
Actually, Universal did.
Yeah.
And prices.
But true Mario fans, I mean, you're just going to pay it because
honestly, I literally was like, just take my money.
Right.
It says $40 to $45 plus tax. Mm-hmm. It is very possible that it was more than that because I feel like it was closer. Well, actually, you know, I bought it the same time I bought a How to Train Your Dragon blanket. So I might be, yeah. Because I feel like my total bill was right in the 80, 85 range. So that's probably, it was probably that they were about 40 each.
Yeah. And I can guarantee that was not a cheap blanket.
No, but it was 100% worth it. It's got a little and a little tail, and I can put my arms in and have little paws. But
that's I'll be coming home with that too. So
yeah, that's okay. Starts for a different podcast.
I need to get another job apparently to pay for all this.
I googled this, and the power up bands can be used at home as amiibo for your Nintendo Switch. Does that make sense to you guys?
Oh yes, that's awesome.
My kids have Nintendo Switches. That's cool. I'll have to try that out.
Is it just the new Nintendo Switch or is it the old one?
It doesn't matter because like Pokemon has amiibos and you can it used to be you could almost like buy a card at the store and it would, you put in the code and then the code would actually give you a character in your game.
Okay.
So it's the same kind of thing, I guess. They'll give you other characters from the Mario universe that you can play in Pokemon.
Yeah, that totally makes sense because there's numbers on the back too. So it may be that if it doesn't scan or whatever that you can,
Yep.
And so I got a Yoshi one because Yoshi is the bomb. But if you buy the Donkey Kong ones are only available in Florida. They aren't available in California. So if you're planning on going to California, buy a Donkey Kong one, then everybody will be like, where'd you get that?
Be like, that makes sense.
I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. The first day, Kathy or Stacy and I did 2 days, and the first day, the Donkey Kong ride was not open, and so we didn't even go over there. And I really wish we had because I think it would have been a lot less crowded because that ride wasn't open. I kind of didn't even realize that part of the park was even back there, even though I knew there was a Donkey Kong roller coaster. So it was, I liked that section better, I think, because it wasn't as much as like me standing inside a video game, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, you still portal into Donkey Kong Country. It's like a mini portal. It's not the big portal like you get into, but it's like a little mini archway, and it does transition you into the jungle from the Mario cartoony everything. Not that Donkey Kong isn't cartoony, but there's not a lot to do back there, but there's a couple of refreshment stands. There's a few of the power-up band things you can do. One of the games, you're actually playing drums, and it's almost like a Simon set, you know, a Simon game almost, but different. More like, I guess more like Guitar Hero, but you're beating these bongo drums, and But I will say that ride, first of all, it does seem to be one that's down a lot. It was down when we first got there, and we waited in line an hour and ended up getting a fast. They evacuated us and gave us not, we weren't on the ride, but they still call it an evacuation when they empty the line out, and they gave us all fast passes to come back anytime. But that ride is super cool, because if you've ever played Donkey Kong Country, you know that you're riding in the minecart, and the minecart jumps every now and then the track has been broken or whatever. And so they have this really cool effect. If you're watching it from the side, you can totally tell what's happening, but it looks like you're riding on certain tracks, but the mechanism is actually underneath the track. So you're attached to this thing underneath. So as you're riding, it does look like you're jumping over these.
Yeah. It was a great effect. It was really cool.
It was very cool. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So there's the ride back there. What other, so there's the Mario Kart, like Bowser's Challenge.
Yes.
So is that like a roller coaster?
No.
What is that?
It's like a motion simulator.
It's like you're shooting things. Like I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was just squeezing
things. Kind
of like
Men in Black.
You know, yeah, kind of. Well, I mean, I guess if you know how to play the game, you know what you're doing. I did not know what I was doing.
Katie hasn't even played Mario Kart. I feel like she's had a very sheltered life. So
I was probably partying it up at that time.
And that's my struggle. That's my struggle, like motion sickness wise, is the like.
Well, but it's not bad. So basically, okay, it moves at the speed of like Winnie the Pooh at Disney or Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It moves at that speed, but you have a shield over your face with a VR, you know, like, what is it? Not VR, but
enhanced. So you're actually moving.
Yes, yeah. but not fast.
Not fast, but you're not stationary, and it's just
Correct.
It looks like
I do better with that.
You feel like you're moving fast because you're racing, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah. That's where I struggle, is when it doesn't move at all, but it like shimmies and gives you the illusion of moving where I might be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be careful with it. It's the enhanced reality or whatever they call it. Okay. Augmented reality. Got it. AR. Augmented reality. Sorry. Everybody listening to podcasts is like, augmented. Anyway, augmented reality. Sorry, I just woke up a cat. Augmented reality is where your shield that's in front of you is actually clear. And so you've got screens in front of you, but then the turtles are flying by or people are passing you or whatever. And all of that is virtual, is augmented.
Okay. So I guess if you struggle and you're having a hard time, you could always just close your eyes or maybe look down at your lap if you need something like constant to look at, like if you're having
I assure you that if you're not actually if you're not looking at anything, you won't even feel like you're moving at all.
Okay. And then what's the other ride? Yoshi's Adventure. Is that more, and I see that's kind of like a gentle pace, good for all ages. So I guess that's more cute. Of like a cutesy, would that be a good term?
It's kind of like a Winnie the Pooh kind of ride.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a cutesy ride.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Dr. Seuss or whatever. There is like a game that you can play where you can collect the eggs. And I don't think I understood exactly how that worked.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you hit this button whenever you see one of the eggs, but it flashes anyway. So even your littlest ones can be successful at it.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as exciting as I was hoping it would be, the little game, but definitely not one where you could actually say to John, hey, I'm going to beat you in this. Cause, and everyone in the car is playing together. So yeah.
Yeah.
If one of you fails, you all fail.
You have to work together.
Gotcha. Did you do any dining there? Like any? What? Tell me about the dining there.
We ate at the Toadstool Cafe, and it was super cute.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you ate too, Elizabeth?
It is. Yeah, we sort of made a point of eating there. The food, they've really gone to great lengths to make. Well, the first thing to note is, of course, it's called the Toadstool Cafe. So guess what's in every dish.
Mushrooms.
Yes. So not toadstools, because those are poisonous, but mushrooms, yes. So you can actually ask for it without mushrooms, because Brooke also does not like mushrooms. So
I do not do fungus.
So but even like one of the desserts looks like mushrooms, and then one of the desserts looks like the little land, you know, like when you at the end of a level where you hit the flag, whatever it's called. Yes. There's a little dessert that looks like that, like a layered cake that was actually really tasty. So
there was, I forgot what I ate in there. I think I got a kid's meal. I don't feel like it had mushrooms though.
Well, I don't think the kids meal do because
kids don't like mushrooms.
It's kids and kids don't like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Most kids.
You could get pretty much anything without mushrooms, unless the mushrooms were like, I think there was a mushroom soup that doesn't come without mushrooms.
Well, but, Okay, that's good to know because neither my husband or I do mushrooms, so that's good to know.
The burger has mushrooms on it, but you can customize it. So.
Okay,
and good honestly, to know. I would definitely try to make a priority of eating there. It's very spacious. And with their mobile ordering program, honestly, it was very comfortable. You just go right in and sit down and you order from your table. I mean, it's so uncomplicated. And so, you know, when you're tired, you don't have to stand in line and wait to order and then find a table. You just go sit down and order.
Because you go and sit, and is it like just a QR code maybe that you, or do you do it in your app or you scan the QR code? Okay.
You do it on the app.
Okay.
And your table has a number on it and you tell,
but you don't do it until after you're in and seated and then you do the mobile order.
And if you want to, you can like go find your seat and then go back and order at the counter and tell them what your table number is. And cause I was getting one of the refillable cups and you know, I think I was getting the refill and not the cup. I can't remember. But anyway, so I went up and ordered that from them.
And to be fair, Brooke did that too because she was asking about customizing. Mm-hmm. And I actually was going to take them. I like mushrooms, but I went ahead and did the app while she was ordering. Actually, I think we had a problem with the Wi-Fi in there at first. So she went up to order. And I was able to order while she was up ordering. And so I was able to customize mine on the app as well and say no mushrooms. So,
Okay.
It's very DoorDash like where it's like it lists out the things that you can you know, say no mushrooms, no whatever. Yeah.
So, and that's actually something I wanted to ask about, Sandy, that you mentioned. They have refillable mugs that you can use in the park, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of like the.
Yeah. The Coca-Cola machines that were.
The freestyle machines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So you can purchase the cup and is it like kind of like the other part where it's like good for so many days or you can.
You reactivate it every day and it only is good at the parks, not at your resort.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But all the parks work.
Okay.
So
that's cool. It's I like that. Cool.
And the restaurants actually use plastic cups with, so there's no paper in the restaurants, which was really
nice. I mean, that. No waste.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They really minimize the,
Oh, I like that. Very nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they are plastic, so you don't have to worry about your little one dropping on the floor and having it shatter everywhere.
Right.
Not at
all. All of the stores were super cute too. Yeah. I will say all the merch was like really adorable.
Yes.
Even like outside of the portal, when you're back into like the kind of the hub, there was another store that had like Link and like Zelda stuff, you know. And I was like, oh, this is I know who that kid is.
Yeah.
Owen was Link for Halloween like 3 years in a row. So, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, Connor's gonna love that when we go in September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Honestly, the merch through this whole park was really, really good. Yeah. Maybe it's because it's all new. But, and you know, tune in for the episode when we talk about Isle of Burke because OMG.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. That's a whole nother episode.
There you go. Segue. Yeah.
Any other takeaways before we wrap it up, ladies?
Go to Epic Universe.
Amazing. Go to Epic. Just do it. Yeah. Buy the ticket and go.
Just go.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of our brand new redesigned website, outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, Sandy, and myself, Anna, thank you for joining us this week. It's me, Mario! You gotta fly!